You're listening to the best possible taste on West Limerick 102 FM. Now, my next guest this evening is a Wicklow-based farmer who keeps cattle with a difference and grows hemp. I spoke to Ed Hambridge last week, so let's have a listen.
Bon appetit.
Yummy.
Grubs up.
Delicious. Mmm.
Ed, you're very welcome to the programme. You are based up in County Wicklow. You're a farmer. And one of the things that you grow is hemp. And as a result of that, you've established a company called Hemp Tech Ireland. Just explain to us what hemp is.
So hemp essentially is cannabis. And the difference then between hemp and cannabis that you'd smoke on the street is the levels of the compounds that's in it. So THC is the tetrahydrocannabinol, and that's what gets you high. And it's CBD is what we're growing it for, really. That's what our main compound that we're after is the CBD, which is in the hemp plant. It is in cannabis as well, but our hemp doesn't have the THC. It has such low amounts, and we have to get a license to grow it. And the amount that you're allowed is 0.3% THC. Now, it has gone up now from 0.2. Now you're allowed 0.3, and that simply just allows extra varieties, options for varieties. But we can only grow varieties that are on an EU list. And there's roughly about 80 different varieties on the list.
You do other farming in conjunction with this. Was this something that you saw as an opportunity to diversify?
Yeah, well, like traditionally, we've been cattle and sheep. And with the cattle and sheep, you were a price taker, whereas nobody was doing hemp before. And I said it was something different, something niche. And I said I was going to try it. But we do the cattle and sheep as well. And what I've started doing is the traditional Irish breeds. So I have a herd of Dexters, a pedigree herd of Dexters, and we sell the Dexter now completely direct. So it's either straight to consumer or to restaurants and hotels. And the same with the Irish Moyle. So the Moyles then are the same that we sell them direct. We also have a Galway sheep. So we have a rare breed of sheep, as well as the traditional Suffolks and Chevets and Hampshire Downs. But look, predominantly we are farmers. We're stock farmers, cattle and sheep, livestock. But you see, the hemp, you see, was something that we could put a new twist on things, where we could, it was different. It was something different. Nobody was doing it before. Because we're organic, we're the only certified organic producers of hemp seed and hemp seed oil, CBD oil, and the hemp protein. So we're the only organic producers in the country. And the organics, you see, came from the farm being organic for our beef and lamb.
And what was the inspiration? Like, how did you come across hemp and decide that this is something that you wanted to get into growing?
Well, look, I was in college down in Waterford. I have a degree in electronic engineering then as well. And while I was there, one of the guys I was living with was doing civil engineering. He came home when he was doing his thesis and said, there's a lad in his class doing his entire thesis on building a house out of hemp. And at the time, I didn't know what it was. So we started looking it up. And it was, once you go down that rabbit hole, you just can't stop, because there's so many uses for hemp. Like there's 50,000 uses for hemp, anywhere from the food that you eat, clothing, hemp insulation. You can make a hemp wood, and you can make paints and varnishes. It is endless of what you can make out of hemp, and you can grow it, and you can grow it in this country. That it's a crop that grows very well. We've had great success growing it, and that's really what pushed me towards it. Just finding out a little bit, wanting to find out more, and we just kept getting more and more curious. And I've always said that the only way to learn is to learn by doing. So we, in 2015 is when I put in the first crop of hemp in Wicklow, and I'd say maybe 100 years.
Wow. And what became of that crop once it was grown and you harvested? What did you do with it?
Well, it wasn't an overnight success, because the first crop that we put in was a Polish variety, and it's a fiber variety. So there's two types of hemp that you can grow. Fiber, so for your textiles, for your insulation, for your building material. And then there's the seed variety. So the first crop was a fiber variety, and it was just, there was no one to process it in Ireland. So I thought that if you grew it, you'd be able to sell it. It just didn't work out that way. You have to add value to it. You have to process it. So we grew it. It grew to about 14 foot tall. I cut it with a little Massey Gold Belly 35, and it was baling it. We got it baled. It was hard baled, but then the selling was even harder. So we just didn't have a market for it. I did eventually get it sold for building, but not for 2 years. So I was persistent. I kept at it. I grew another crop of fiber. Just couldn't get a market. To get into the processing side of it, you're looking at somewhere in the region of, I'd say, 4 million to 20 million, depending on how much automation you want to go down. So the point of entry is very, very high. And then we were looking at the food side of it, the oils, and I switched over then to growing for seeds. So we grow Finola now, which is a seed variety, and we sow it in May. We combine it in September. We have to dry it then. It's like rapeseed. So you have to dry it down. We dry it down to about 6%. And then we clean it. We've had to invest in all the equipment, but it's not as big an investment as the fiber. So we were able to buy our combine, buy our dryer, buy our seed cleaner. Then we bought the screw presses. And once you have that seed dry and clean, then you start to press it. So it goes through a screw press. So it's cold pressed, and which means cold press just means it's below 50 degrees. So it's pressed, and we bottle it then, filter it and put it into bottles. And the hemp seed oil is one of the best oils that humans can consume. So it has the perfect balance of omegas for human consumption. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. So omega 6 and 3. So you need omega 6 to make omega 3 work. And it's at that 3-to-1 ratio. It also has something unique, which is the gamma linoleic acid. And gamma linoleic acid is a natural anti-inflammatory. And there's only two oils that I know of that have it, which is the hemp seed oil and evening primrose oil. So with that anti-inflammatory, we're finding that a huge amount of people are getting great benefit from arthritis because it brings down that inflammation. It's one of the only oils that has a condogenic index of 0. So your condogenic index is a 0 to 5 scale. 5 meaning it'll irritate the skin and block the pores. And hemp seed oil is at 0. So it can go on any skin type, whether that's dry skin, oily skin, sensitive skin. And it even heals or sorts out the likes of cradle cap. We've used it on our babies over the years, and it's one of the only oils that we've noticed that you put it on today and it'll be gone tomorrow. It's really amazing of how well it soaks into the skin, that oils actually shouldn't leave the skin feeling oily. It should absorb, and that's what hemp seed oil does. It absorbs into the skin. So what we're trying to market now is that it's both good inside the body and on the body. So that's why we're promoting our hemp seed oil to take about 30 mils off the spoon or in a salad, or it's best taken in its raw form. So it's not a cooking oil as such, because at high heat, because it's a polyunsaturated fat oil, at high heat, it'll change to a trans fat. And as you know, we don't need those. So it is an oil in best in its raw form. So straight off the spoon, in a yogurt, in a spread, a dip, pesto, hummus, salad dressing. That's the best way to take it. And then again, just straight onto the skin. It's really, really good.
So the amount that you're growing now, and you have a process and plant there for it, but you probably aren't growing enough to keep that plant busy all the time. So now you're educating people and you're helping other farmers to grow.
Yeah. That's it exactly. So we are. I've always said that I can grow more than I can. Grow more than I can combine. I can combine more than I can dry. I can dry more than I can clean, and I can clean more than I can actually process. So the funnel is probably going the wrong way at the minute, because I can certainly press a lot more than I can sell. But that's just the awareness. You see, I'm an ordinary farmer. I'm not a salesman. I'm not a marketer. And that's probably where I'm falling down, that I need to have those two expertise. I need to take somebody on to do that, to get the word out and to know that we exist. Because if you can have the best product in the world, but unless people know about it, it's pointless. But what I am trying to do is to tell the farmers this. Like I could write a book on the mistakes that we've made. And if there's anybody that's looking to grow it, there's no point in everybody making the same mistakes. So I can show them what has worked for me. Like, I don't claim to be an expert by any matter of means. I just claim to be, just have a bit of experience. And that experience then I pass on to other people. I have made a course before. So on the course, I think we had 60. We've done it a few different years, but you're looking anywhere from 20 people up to 60 people any year. And I give them the highs, the lows, the ins and outs, and basically the good, bad and the ugly. And at the minute, because of the market, I couldn't say that I'd recommend people growing too much of it, because I don't want anybody to get stuck with seed that they can't sell. Now, any seed that we grow that we have, say, too much of it, we feed it to the cattle and to the sheep, and we're finding it an absolutely amazing feed. Like, it's so high in protein. Like, hemp seed is somewhere in the region of about 45% protein. So the worst case scenario is you just have expensive feeding for cattle. But it's so good. Like, we're only feeding about 100, somewhere between 1,500 grams to the animals, and you just they turn inside out on it. It's amazing. And it's something now that I want Chagas to actually maybe do a bit more proper on the ground research for, because of the digestibility of hemp and because of that protein. Like, we're at the minute, we're importing 400,000 tons of soya into Ireland. Like, it's all coming from America, South America, Argentina. It's put on a ship, it's shipped across the Atlantic, brought over to us, and now we feed it to our cattle. What's in soya is trypsin, and trypsin is actually a protein inhibitor. So it means that even though soya might be up 48% protein, the cattle or the sheep aren't able to digest that protein, and so they're not getting the full value of it. So that is not in hemp seed. There's no trypsin in hemp seed, and there's no estrogen in hemp seed, which is in the soya as well. So without those two things, it means that the digestibility of the hemp is far superior compared to soya. So if we could get to a point where it was on par, say, with soya, that we could grow it as cheap as we can import that soya, now we can grow our own protein, and we are now trying to, we it's more sustainable, for the lack of a better word, because we can grow it. We're reducing the carbon in this country. We are not importing. It's import substitution, and you're getting a better protein, a more digestible protein. If it's more digestible, surely our cattle and our sheep will not produce the same amount of emissions, that they're not producing that much methane.
And one of the other products that you do, and it's for human consumption, is the protein powder, because there's lots of protein powders out there that athletes, for example, would be taking, or people that are maybe they're going to the gym and they want to build up their muscle mass.
That's right. So once we press the seed, you're left with a cake. And that cake then is, it's milled down and we put it through a flour mill. And then we're left with a sort of a hemp bran and a protein powder. And that protein powder, again, doesn't have the estrogen the same as soya does. So if it's natural, that has its own flavor, sort of a peanutty flavor, and it doesn't have the trypsin in it. And you see, it's just a better digestible protein. So it's a really, really good protein. The people are finding the likes of your whey protein can leave them gassy, whereas this doesn't. This is digestible. This is, like I said before, perfectly balance for human consumption, and the protein is natural as well. There's no preservatives or anything like that in it, and you'd use it the same as you would the likes of whey. So if you're using a scoop of whey, you use a scoop of hemp, and it's absolutely gorgeous in your smoothies and shakes with banana or vanilla. I wouldn't recommend it with strawberries. I think the acid in the strawberries just leave the hemp feeling tasting really strong. So, but it works really well with banana and vanilla.
Brilliant. And where are you selling it at the moment? Because presumably you have some customers or health food shops that are taking it.
Yeah, there is a few shops around the country now. There's the organic shop over in Leitrim, and we're in a few shops around here as well. A few of the local shops in Wicklow that we're just outside Balting and Achilteagan. So we're in that area. Most of our sales are actually online, they're the biggest ones. Again, we're looking for more shops to take it on, and we're looking to get maybe into the likes of Whole Foods.
I suppose there's a lot of education has to be done around it to make the consumer aware of what exactly it is and that it's safe to take and the benefits of taking it.
That's it. Everything is education. And certainly we have noticed that in the last number of years, that education has improved. When they hear hemp and they know that it's cannabis, at the start, you were getting the jokes. You know, you were getting the snigger and will it get me high and all of this. Like, then over the years, like, that has changed. There's nobody making those jokes anymore, that they know that hemp is around and that it's good for them. So now the questions are, how can I take it? And that is where the education needs to come in now, is how do I consume it? How much of it should I take? And what's it going to do for me? So education is everything, and I suppose that's what we're on that path now. And again, it's to do with your advertising, your marketing, your promotions. It's great having it there, but you have to be able to sell it, and you have to be able to show people and tell people what the benefits for them are. So that's what I hope to do now, is really push it now this summer and let people know that we exist and what hemp can do for them.
Well, if anybody's listening and they're interested in getting more information and maybe putting in an order, where is the best place for them to go to?
Thehempfarm.ie. So we tried to keep it as simple as we can. We just went with thehempfarm.ie.
Perfect. Listen, Ed, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on to the show and telling us about it.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.